Well, hello and welcome, everybody. This is your host, Kendi Foster. Welcome to the Voices of Courage show today. You know, there are moments in life when time feels linear, measured, predictable, sometimes fast moving. And then there are moments when time feels like something else entirely. It's completely expansive. It is almost unfathomable. It's a place where we get into this place, it feels like the zone. You know, and those moments usually arrive when we're being invited to remember something greater about ourselves than this logical, linear, fast-paced, moving world. So today we have an author on the show. He's got a new book out called Lost in Time. And it points to a truth that I've seen echoed again and again in human existence, that we're not merely moving through time. Time is moving through us. Memory, destiny, choice, and consciousness are not separate lanes. They're intertwined currents shaping our lives, whether we're aware of them or not. When we lose our sense of presence, we become fragmented, pulled by the past, anxious about the future. But when we return to awareness, time becomes a teacher. Patterns reveal themselves. Purpose clarifies itself. Life stops feeling random and starts feeling intelligent. Now, these principles have been around for years and years and years. But for some reason, a lot of what we're going to talk about today has been lost in time. And today's the day we're going to regain those principles so that you understand maybe a little bit about yourself more, maybe a little bit about how life is unfolding for you, maybe a little bit about how to communicate and connect deeper with yourself, deeper with the presence that lies within you, and be able to have more joy, more happiness, more abundance, more love in your life. By the way, love is one of the principal concepts in time. It's like, have you ever done something that you love and time just stands still? It just flows, right? But when you're doing things you don't much care for to do, time takes a long time, right? Well, we're going to be talking about that and a whole bunch more on this show. So I'm going to take a quick break, and when I get back, I'll have my guest.
Do you suffer in pain? Are you stiff, tense, or less active than before? Introducing the EasyWell Remedy Massage System that combines the incredible effects of vibrational therapy, targeted deep tissue shiatsu massage, plus soothing infrared heat. A triple fusion of therapeutic experiences. Full body vibrational therapy increases blood circulation and reduces inflammation. Look at these beads moving from the powerful vibrational motors.
It's like 1,000 little fingers just vibrating my body from head to toe.
Infrared heat penetrates deep to reduce pain, soothe, and relax.
Remedy gets in there and helps deal with the source of the pain, so you feel much better.
The Ultra Shiatsu Pillow with 6 infrared heated nodes mimics a professional massage. Plus, it's detachable for deep relief anywhere you need it.
It's just something that you're gonna have to feel for yourself.
Experience the true remedy for your pain and stiffness. Call now.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Kendi Foster. And my very special guest today is Jack Bilek. Jack, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Ken. Thanks for having me on.
Well, some of my audience might not know you yet, so I'd like to introduce you a little bit, Jack. It's great to have you here, and love your background. Jack's life and career have spanned the globe and the technological spectrum, I want to say. His worldview has been shaped by living in many states at an early age and traveling the world, giving him a unique lens on how different cultures operate. With a background in electrical engineering, his professional journey took him from working for the U.S. Air Force to a long, impactful career at Motorola, eventually to contributions in White House technology initiatives and humanitarian efforts in Haiti. As a global innovator and thought leader, Jack now dedicates his time to exploring the cynical nature of human knowledge, how we gain it, how we lose it, and most importantly, how we can do better at preserving it for future generations. This shift at the core of his compelling book, Lost in Time, which I can hardly wait to read, by the way, Our Forgotten and Vanishing Knowledge. Wow. Okay. I love your background. Love what you do. So how do these roles that you played over the years, how have they influenced your knowledge, your management of the wisdom that's come into your own life, Jack?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting because the way that this book came about, this book took 10 years to write. So the way this book came about was from looking at different facts, I guess I'll say, that maybe everybody sees from time to time. And I guarantee, once we're done talking here, when you see something in the future, you will think about it a little differently than you do today. And that's what happened to me, is I started down this journey and seeing historical facts. Now, I was never interested in history, really, too much. I was more a technology guy, you know, science. But this history of in some cases, history of technology will open your eyes to a new way of thinking about the past and the future.
Well, you know, in today's world, we've got, you know, this is the last year was, you know, the world kind of woke up to AI last year, you know, maybe the year before. But this is the year that it's really impacting us in a lot of ways. And it seems to me like if, it can help us in great ways because it can tap into some of the wisdom sources. But it can also be destructive for people. You know, so that's why I think this, you know, what your book is very interesting because it's talking about preserving wisdom, really. Yeah. And so how do we bring that wisdom into a future that so many believe is just a future based on somebody telling us what to do? AI will tell you everything you need to know, when to know it and how to know it. And, you know, what happens to our thinking if that happens?
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that a little bit, because how do you turn knowledge into wisdom? How does that happen? I mean, I think there's a difference. Wisdom is the proper application of knowledge. And let's take a simple example. Let's take the example of the child that is near the stove. And you tell the child, now, don't touch that stove because it's hot. You're going to burn yourself. And so the child has now the knowledge, you know, he knows the stove is hot. He knows he's going to burn himself. But what happens? Invariably, they go over and touch the stove, burn themselves, and then they don't do it again. You know, they say, well, I got burned. You know, I'm not doing that again. So now we have knowledge. We've turned it into wisdom, which is, you know, I'm not doing that again. But what we see in history, as a culture, we haven't learned that yet. We keep making the same mistakes, you know, and doing the same things over and over again. I'm going to start with an example here. Cataract surgery. So modern cataract surgery started in the 1700s. You know, cataract surgeries where they move the lens of the eye because it gets clouded. And I think in the 18, when they started out doing that, you know, they had to have a chair that they would tie you to, so, because, you know, your eye is very sensitive. The cornea of your eye has more nerve endings per square inch than any other part of your body. And, you know, if you get a piece of dust or hair in your eye, it drives you nuts until you get it out. And so they had to do that when they started doing that in the 1700s. In the 1800s, they invented eye drops. I think they were cocaine eye drops to numb the eye so it wasn't as painful. Well, come to find out, there was a famous physician, Sushruta, who lived in 800 BC in India, and he did cataract surgery. And he did many types of surgery. He treated diabetes. He did nose jobs. He did all kinds of stuff. A pretty amazing guy. It's all written. They have books that, you know, are from that time that he wrote about all the medical procedures he did. And if we go even further back, there's the Ebers Papyrus, which has records of the ancient Egyptians in 2400 BC doing cataract surgery. Now, you know, and even the Babylonians, there's records in 2250 BC of them doing cataract surgery. So, you know, these are things that we keep learning and then forgetting and then learning again. And it seems like we're on a cyclical staircase. We keep going up and down and learning these things and losing them. And there's so many examples like that.
Well, I love that. I love that example. And I think, you know, we as humans, we do, we're at another point in our world, in our history, where we really have to start to understand that, you know, what Jack is talking about is really important here. We have the opportunity to really take humankind to a completely new level. Or we can go the other way. We can go down through destruction and destroy ourselves again and forget everything. I mean, so much is in the cloud already. If we had a nuclear war, a lot of human knowledge would be lost instantly. I guess the question for you, Jack, is how do we lose all this stuff? How do we lose it? Is it through war? Is it through, you know, what is it? What happens here?
Yeah, this is a great question. And I want to go back and address something first that you said about, you know, our current technology, because our technology today, we tend to think that it's better and lasts longer, but in reality, it's not any better. If we take a look at the progression, we used to use stone tablets, you know, to write things on. Now that's not very dense in terms of information, but then we moved to, you know, papyrus, we moved to paper, we moved to magnetic media, and now we're using, you know, SSD drives and USB drives and that sort of thing. Well, the amount of density of information is greater and greater as we've gone forward. However, the lifespan is less and less. I mean, a CD, a DVD only has a life of 30 to 40 years, and those pits will be oxidized, and you won't be able to read it again. How long do you think your USB drive or SSD drive lasts? I mean, you think that's going to last 100 years? How long does your computer last before it doesn't work anymore? I mean, it's just electronics. It doesn't last that long. So we've kind of gone down a curve where we're putting more and more information in a denser and denser media, and yet the lifespan is shorter and shorter. So
that's very interesting. I mean, I think of, you know, pictures that I took on my camcorder or my, you know, or music that I listened to on my, on cassette tapes and, you know, it's interesting. I mean, you know, even music is a very interesting topic because of the way they've condensed the files more and more and more. If you listen to an old record, right, an old record has much more fidelity and much more quality of sound than anything that we're listening to today, right?
And it'll last longer. Those old vinyls are still good.
And they're still around. Yeah. So I think that's really interesting, right? So are we really progressing, or are we kind of in an illusion, pretending like we're progressing, but we're really not?
Yeah. Well, I think we have to be thoughtful about it, and that's the whole point of the book. Really, is to be thoughtful about where we put our knowledge and, you know, whatever we've learned, we tend not to think about it. You know, if you have something that's really important, let, you know, you put it somewhere that is safe.
Yeah.
No, you'll put it somewhere where you know you can get at it later. If you're saving, you know, pictures, the other day I was trying to find some old photos. I had to go to, I had 8 USB drives. They were, I don't know how old they were, 8, 10 years old. And out of those 8, only 6 of them worked. And so, you know, to find something, we have to just be thoughtful about it. You know, maybe make multiple copies if it's important, or maybe print it. There's a story. I interviewed the head curator for the computer museum near San Francisco, and they have all the old XT and IBM, you know, PCs and Macintoshes, and they used floppy drives to store their information on. And you know, those floppies, that magnetic media gets brittle, falls apart, and is no longer readable. And so what they've had to do is take the computer programs and print them on paper. Kind of gone backwards. So, you know, are we doing the right things? You know, is this the right direction? I think it's just we need to be thoughtful about it and make sure we're putting it where we think it's the right media, the right way to save it for the future.
Well, that brings up a really good point. So how do we save it if our technology is the way it is? Okay, I got to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll address that and much more. We'll be right back.
Do you suffer in pain? Are you stiff, tense, or less active than before? Introducing the EasyWell Remedy Massage System that combines the incredible effects of vibrational therapy, targeted deep tissue shiatsu massage, plus soothing infrared heat. A triple fusion of therapeutic experiences. Full body vibrational therapy increases blood circulation and reduces inflammation. Look at these beads moving from the powerful vibrational motors.
It's like 1,000 little fingers just vibrating my body from head to toe.
Infrared heat penetrates deep to reduce pain, soothe, and relax.
Remedy gets in there and helps deal with the source of the pain, so you feel much better.
The Ultra Shiatsu Pillow with 6 infrared heated nodes mimics a professional massage. Plus, it's detachable for deep relief anywhere you need it.
It's just something that you're gonna have to feel for yourself.
Experience the true remedy for your pain and stiffness. Call now.
Have you ever felt leg pain, restlessness, cramps, tingling, swelling, numbness, itchiness, or coldness? Then you need the new, clinically proven Legsercise Pro, the natural circulation booster that uses continuous automatic leg movement to soothe pain and promote healthy circulation the natural, drug-free way.
After using Legsercise for a week, I felt like I wanted to go for a walk again without pain like I used to.
Legsercise Pro's patented walking simulator propulsion technology moves your feet back and forth along its concave track, creating constant movement and flex at both the knee and ankle joints. It's like having a physical therapist right in your own home.
It's helped with the swelling and the pain. The tingling feeling is gone.
Call right now and order your very own Legsercise Pro, the clinically proven automatic leg mover that soothes pain and naturally promotes healthy circulation. Call now.
Well, everybody, this is your host, Kennedy Foster, and I'm here with Jack Bylak, and we're talking about his new book. And Jack, listen, man, how do we preserve information? How do we preserve it?
Yeah. So my point is that awareness is a catalyst for change. And I think by being aware of this topic, I think we can change to make things better for the future. So I think about it, you know, as you have information that you want to save that you think is important, how are you going to save it? You know, are you going to print it out? Are you going to just make multiple copies? Is the cloud the right choice? You know, it is, you know, for the right applications. You just have to make that decision on your own. But, you know, I also think that we're going to find some new solutions going forward. We talked a little bit about AI and touched on that. I think AI will be a catalyst to help us come up with new ideas and new techniques for saving our information for the future.
Well, you know, I think there's a piece here where it comes down to like, well, why are we even here? Okay. Why are we here? What are we doing here? And you know, a lot of people, you know, they're born and then they go through life and they die pretty much with the same consciousness. Okay. Let's face it. That just is the way it is out here. It's a very interesting planet. But what I want to say is this, is that, you know, we're talking about preserving wisdom, but I think the way that, you know, cultures have preserved wisdom over the years and why we even have any wisdom, right, is because they've embraced it themselves. You know, they've learned through, like you said, through touching a hot stove. That's one way we get wise. Another way is through studying books. Another way is through stillness, tuning into our own inner voice and listening to that inner wisdom that we all have. Now, most people are going through life too fast. They don't have time to tune in or listen to that still voice. So they're getting wisdom from the internet sometimes. You know, most of the time they're getting a lot of information. You know, and I don't think we need any more information, quite frankly. If you need more information, just Google it. But if what we're talking about here is real wisdom, right? So, you know, in your family, you're up in age like I am. You know, we are the wisdom keepers. You know, how do you preserve that for your family? You know, that wisdom that you've learned, Jack.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's two ways to learn wisdom, the easy way and the hard way.
There you go.
So, you know, a lot of times we try to impart wisdom on our children or those that we know. You know, we say, hey, you know, maybe you don't want to do that. Maybe you should do this other thing, you know, might be better. So I think we all make our efforts at doing that. And, you know, you just have to try. And if the person is open to it, you know, that's it. And that is one of the points of the book also. My very first point is to be humble and be open to new ideas. So if somebody does come along and say, hey, you know, that stove is hot over there, be open, you know, be humble. Say, well, I don't know it all. You know, maybe they're right. And say, well, you know, I'm not going to do that. You know, if it makes sense, you know, use some common sense.
Well, you know, there's a challenge with common sense, because common sense is very uncommon in this world. Many times. And you know what, when I think of common sense, again, I think of wisdom. And, you know, as we mentioned, you know, where does wisdom come from? Well, it comes from learning from your elders. It comes from, and like you said, you know, having an open mind. I've learned this along my path, Jack. You know, you can't teach anybody anything. Okay. What you can do is set up an environment or inspire them so that they can remember on their own. They can understand. They can start to learn and grow themselves. And, you know, if somebody's listening to this show today, they're done, you know, yeah, teach anybody anything. Well, why are you on this show, Ken? Well, listen, you know, it's not about me teaching you. It's about you deciding to learn, to grow, to evolve, and take your wisdom to a new level. And that's, you know, that's all we can do. What do you say to that, Jack?
Yeah, well, the thing that we're running into, and I want to talk about, you know, our knowledge and wisdom that we've lost over the years.
Yeah.
And we seem to refine it, you know.
Yeah.
And what I first thought about was, well, the reason that we lose all this information is because of wars, because of floods, earthquakes, you know, natural disasters. You know, we have a library, some place with a lot of information, and a war comes along in Baghdad, and we lose a million artifacts because of one war there, you know. But that's not the reason that we lose information. The reason we lose information is because we don't care and we don't want it. We don't want to keep it. If we cared, we'd keep it. You know, if we had a desire to keep that information for a long time, then we wouldn't go around blowing up libraries and, you know, indiscriminately. And, you know, by the way, the war in Baghdad wasn't just one culture, one country. It was multiple countries. It was even their country, you know, went around, destroyed things. You know, we have to want to keep it for our future generations so that they have that and they can learn from it. And how do you learn from it? You learn from your mistakes. So you have to keep the records and you have to keep that information for future generations. Otherwise, you're going to make the same mistake again. There's really some, there's one thing I want to talk about, because there's some really sad situations that have happened in our history. I'm just going to talk about plumbing, you know, just a simple thing, plumbing. Yeah. You know, many people think that the toilet was invented by Thomas Crapper in 1861. No, the toilet was around in the 1500s in England for use in castles. And we know also that the Romans had a great water distribution system. They had aqueducts. They had a sewer system. And the Babylonians had sewers in 2900 BC, as did the Neolithic people that lived in the Orkney Islands in Scotland in 3000 BC. So those have been around a long time. But what happened in the Middle Ages, in the 1300s? No toilets. Sewage ran off the top of buildings and into the streets. Might have contributed to the plague that we had there. So did we learn from that? Well, I hope so. I hope it doesn't happen again. But it's a simple example of a, you know, common need that humans have that we need to keep.
Well, I think you said something really important is, we don't care. And I think the we don't care part is people become cynical. They become depressed sometimes. They become like they just detach from life. You know, we got a lot of people like that around the world, right? They're trying to go through life and they're self-medicating. They're doing a lot of things that are self-destructive, right? So, I mean, we have to kind of look at the core. When I look at the educational system, at least in our country, you know, it's a very antiquated system. Okay. So there's a system that's preserved and, a system that basically teaches, you know, reading, writing, math, and what's the other one anyway? And that's pretty much it. We don't teach about wisdom. We don't have classes on wisdom. We don't have classes on how to use the mind. We don't have our classes on what is your purpose here? Who are you? What are you about? We don't have classes on teaching people how to use the mind to create unlimited potential in their own life. We just don't have that. So we have an antiquated system, and we ask ourselves, why do we get the same results over and over again? Because like you said, we're doing the same thing over and over again. So the way that we have to do this is, like Jack is saying, you know, look at the past, because we learn from the past, but then look at where we are and ask ourselves, you know, what we can do to change, grow, improve. And it's about, you know, for me, Jack, it's always an inside job. You know, yeah. The collective consciousness of the world, you know, is reflected in our presidents, reflected in our systems, reflected in a whole bunch of places, right? So we say, well, we don't like it. Well, good. Change yourself. Do your part in changing the world. That's what I think. What do you say?
Yeah, I agree. But I think it has to happen at all levels.
At all levels, yeah.
Yeah. So we have to do it as individuals. And we also have to do it, you know, as an organization, as a organ.
Well, as we do it as individuals, we're inspired. We go, oh, you know what? We got to go change this school system. I got to be part of the solution instead of part of the problem. I'm going to go out there and do that. I think what happens is a lot of times is the blind leading the blind. People with good intentions, but with no wisdom. And if you don't have wisdom, you're going to create problems. You're going to create chaos. You're going to create challenges, and people are going to want to shut down and not do it that way. So, and then we go back to the go to that place. I don't care, right? So, you know, that's my thought. How do you say we get out of I don't care? I got to pause you for a second. I got to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
All righty.
Do you suffer in pain? Are you stiff, tense, or less active than before? Introducing the EasyWell Remedy Massage System that combines the incredible effects of vibrational therapy, targeted deep tissue shiatsu massage, plus soothing infrared heat. A triple fusion of therapeutic experiences. Full body vibrational therapy increases blood circulation and reduces inflammation. Look at these beads moving from the powerful vibrational motors.
It's like 1,000 little fingers just vibrating my body from head to toe.
Infrared heat penetrates deep to reduce pain, soothe, and relax.
Remedy gets in there and helps deal with the source of the pain, so you feel much better.
The Ultra Shiatsu Pillow with 6 infrared heated nodes mimics a professional massage. Plus, it's detachable for deep relief anywhere you need it.
It's just something that you're gonna have to feel for yourself.
Experience the true remedy for your pain and stiffness. Call now.
Have you ever felt leg pain, restlessness, cramps, tingling, swelling, numbness, itchiness, or coldness? Then you need the new, clinically proven Legsercise Pro, the natural circulation booster that uses continuous automatic leg movement to soothe pain and promote healthy circulation the natural drug-free way.
After using Legsercise for a week, I felt like I wanted to go for a walk again without pain like I used to.
Legsercise Pro's patented walking simulator propulsion technology moves your feet back and forth along its concave track, creating constant movement and flex at both the knee and ankle joints. It's like having a physical therapist right in your own home.
It's helped with the swelling and the pain. The tingling feeling is gone.
Call right now and order your very own Legsercise Pro, the clinically proven automatic leg mover that soothes pain and naturally promotes healthy circulation. Call now.
We have enough information. Just Google it or AI it. What the world needs today is courage and wisdom. The courageous ones have moved us forward. These are the fearless, the ones with determination, the resilient ones. They have grit and rise to meet the challenges and opportunities. They encourage, empower, and enlighten us to all glow up, shift our thinking, and step into our greatness. Yes, these are the ones who have led the way. Now, listen to the courageous ones of today and step into your courage.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Kent D. Foster. I'm speaking with Jack Balak. He's got a new book out today and Lost in Time. And, you know, Jack, I want you to have time to answer that question. You know, how do we get people to care? But but before we do that, let me put your book up on the screen again, and where can people get Lost in Time?
Yeah, sure. Well, my website, you can go there, lostintime.world. You can find links there to all my social media, and the book can be purchased at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or any bookstore. You just ask them; they can get it for you.
Awesome. I love the title, Lost in Time. Wow.
Yeah,
that's so cool. And let me give you time to answer that. How do we overcome, you know, not caring?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, for me, I outline it a little bit in the book. I think we talked a little bit about it, you know, be humble, have an open mind to new concepts, you know, so maybe you can see the right direction to take. keep in mind that old can be good. You know, don't overlook it or underestimate it. Think long into the past and long into the future. You know, don't just think about today. You should think about today, but, you know, today is, of course, the only place you can do anything about. But use the past as a guide stone or guide light to help you in the future. And think wide. Think about the people next to you. You know, don't forget about the folks next to you, not just about yourself. And just be thoughtful about what you're doing.
Well, listen, old is amazing. Old is amazing. I want you to remember that, people. Especially when you get old, you better, you know, hopefully you'll be amazing. You know, some people aren't amazing when they get old. Some people go, wow, I pray, you know, everybody teaches us something. Some people teach you what not to do. Some people teach you what to do. So, but, you know, anyway, listen, that book title, Lost in Time, where'd that come from?
Yeah, well, you know, so it was one of those things where I lost in time, our forgotten and vanishing knowledge. I remember doing that. I wrote like 20 different book titles.
Oh, yeah.
And just kind of, you know, vetted each one and tried to figure out, you know, talking to others and that sort of thing. And I thought it was just really fitting, our forgotten and vanishing knowledge. Yeah.
Wow. Well, I wrote a song for my wife and sang it to her a couple of years ago on her birthday. It was called Time Stand Still. And, you know, the song was about, you know, it's like when you're doing something you love, when I'm with her, you know, everything, time stands still. Right. Uh-huh. And that's why I got, when I went lost in time, oh yeah. Yeah. When we're doing things we love, we get lost in time and it's beautiful.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, listen, you know, your humanitarian work, you know, installing water purification systems in Haiti, how did these efforts, you know, transform your perspective, maybe on the importance of preserving practical knowledge?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I've been to Haiti. You know, it's the seventh poorest country in the world. And I worked there with children's schools. The children there were just, I mean, they use one trough to wash their dishes and to wash their feet, you know. And so, you know, just to talk about lost in time. I mean, here's people who, we have countries all around us that have really great, you know, sanitary ways of washing and eating and so on. And here you have a country sitting over there that's hundreds of years, I don't know how many years behind they are, you know, just totally sad. But I think doing that work has helped me to figure out the positioning of this book. Because when I first wrote this book, I just put down all these amazing facts, you know, ancient vending machines in Rome in 10 BC, you know, sharp swords that were made with chrome 2000 years ago in China, you know, just finding all these facts and then saying, well, what's the point? No, what's the point? So what? That's interesting. Okay, cool. You know what? So what? You know, and I thought, wow, you know, this could be something that really we could help improve our lives, improve the lives of the people that come after us.
So when you look at, you know, you look at a sword in China, 2,000 years old, that's got, you know, it's chromed, and you think about, you know, the guy that invented, quote, chrome, and the, you know, and who invented a sharper sword, and, you know, and all these reinventions, there wasn't anything really reinvented. It was already invented. And how many, before China and the chrome 2,000 years ago, maybe there was a sword 10,000 years ago.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. You just haven't found it yet. Yeah. You know, I think it has something to do with truth. You know, truth is unchanging. It never changes. It's always there. And so whatever is true, you can find again because it's still there. It doesn't go away.
Well, you know, and I've been working with a guy by the name of Dr. Irvin Laszlo for the last couple of years. He wrote a book. Laszlo's been nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize twice. He's wrote 106 books. And one of his books was on the Akashic Record is what he calls it. Some might call it Christ consciousness. Some might call it cosmic consciousness, universal consciousness. But there's this, you know, whatever you call it, there's this collective consciousness that we can tap into, that the wisdom is never lost, that the wisdom is there, that the sword that was made 10,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, and 100 years ago, all existed somewhere before it came into somebody's brain, which is what I believe. I believe it's all here. It's just, you know, but, you know, it's interesting because then we keep reinventing. We think we're all got this great, great reinvention. I mean, if you think about it, you got to ask the question, well, was, a car like a Tesla on the planet 20,000 years ago? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But maybe.
Maybe. Maybe, you know, flying carpets isn't just a, story.
Well, I'm just sitting here with my desk here. I've got my Dick Tracy watch right here that I can talk into. I can listen to music. I can, call my friends. I mean, it's that was fantasy for us, you and me as kids.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, there are some things, you know, like the big elephant in the room, of things that have been done by previous cultures that we can't explain. You know, we can explain it sort of, but it's just a guess as to how they did it. You know, I'm talking about, you know, the Great Pyramid at Giza.
Yeah.
You know, how is that? I did just a real simple thing. I did some simple math. I just took 2.3 million stones, right? 3 tons or more each. They say that was built over 20 years. And so that would mean you'd have to lay one stone every 2 minutes, 12 hours a day, 365 days a year for 20 years. And each one has to be perfectly flat and fit together. Now, you know, perfect. You know, amazing. I mean, could we do that today? Maybe, I don't know. It would be a tremendous engineering feat. And they did it two or three times over there, at least that we know of. And we have a lot of conjectures to how it was done, which is, I mean, there's some good ideas, but we don't actually know how they did it. You know, we don't have records of how they did it. So there's probably some technology or technique or something that they use that we don't have. You know, it's hard to imagine.
Well, it is hard to imagine. And yet, you know, our quantum physicists and scientists and, are learning that, we basically are made of empty space. You know, 99.999% of us is really empty space. And that if you go into the depth of the atom, and you split the atom, you go down in, past the electrons, past the protons, all of a sudden it's empty. There's nothing there. So maybe there's, and we're learning how to use the mind differently. Maybe those people somehow collectively created that out of mind matter. We don't know, but some there's a lot of possibility here. And, I wonder where we go with this. So what do you want your readers to know at the end of the, Lost in Time?
Yeah. Well, I really want people to know that, if they wake up to the probability that we don't know everything and that we can use history to help us realize that and that improve our future, that's the key. We need to be able to continue to improve. The point isn't to continue to destroy ourselves and blow ourselves up and lose our knowledge. The point is, let's do the right things for the future so that we continue to get better.
Yeah. And one of the ways we do that is opening up our creativity and letting go of our past judgments. You know, in a world of relativity, which is what we live in, it's very difficult to discern what ultimate reality is and ultimate truth is. So this book is a book that can help you bridge your own awareness and break some of the boundaries that you're thinking this is the way it is, and open up your creativity in ways that you become part of the solution. It's one of the reasons I wanted to have you on the show, because it's very creative. It's innovative thinking to be able to look back and ask the question, why do we keep reinventing? And a lot of people don't know that, you know, the Chinese sword was invented 2000 years ago, or the crapper was invented, you know, in Rome, you know, or, you know, we just don't know those things. So it's good. Final thoughts here for you, Jack.
Yeah. Just, you know, take a look. I think, you know, it'll be an eye opening experience for you. I think you're going to see some things that you've never really thought of before. And once you change your thought process a little, you will look at things differently than you have in the past. I think it really will change you.
That's the key. Lost in Time, you can get it at Amazon or wherever books are sold. And I hope you'll go and get the book. Jack Bielek, B-I-A-L-I-K, B-I-A-L-I-K. Bielek. All right, Jack, thank you for being here. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Ken. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, this is a great show. And I want to thank all of you for joining us today. By the way, if you guys are on YouTube right now, go ahead and click that subscribe button. That way you'll be able to see all of our shows. And most importantly, you'll be able to pass them on to people that you care about. Until next time, continue to see the unseeable, know the unknowable, and you'll be able to do the impossible. Take care.